moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the Gosscast. This week we have another fabulous guest in. I'm so excited to have got him in. It's the amazing Paddy Smith. Paddy is now fronting a brand new fashion show on RT2, so we're going to be chatting all about that and chatting about adversities he's had to face, his Instagram career, his photo shoots, the glam life that he leads now, and how it all came about. So I hope you enjoy. So hey guys, we're here with Paddy Smith, he's just told me I've popped his podcast cherry.
You have, Ali.
How are you feeling?
I'm no longer a podcast version.
Is it starting out good for you?
It's good. Yeah.
We were just chatting before we started there about how these talks end up getting like really deep and emotional. So Paddy's ready to cry. I need to get the tissues, get them in here.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Don't be nervous.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start off talking about your new show on RTE. By the way, how weird is it to say that sentence?
Your new show on RTE. I still can't believe it.
It's crazy. Yeah. The Fitting Room, it's so good. And I was just saying to you outside there, I went out last night, so I'm hungover this morning, it's FYI. And I was like, I better watch this full episode before I come in and chat to you. And I was in bits. Like, it is so... Because from the ads, you're like, oh, it's about fashion.
Mm.
But it's actually about... so much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, fashion is at the core of it, but really it's about real people, real stories, and anyone that's come over or overcome adversity in their lives. It doesn't have to be a disability, it could be anything.
Yeah, and that's what I loved about the first episode anyway, because you had three different people on, and you know, some of them were sad and emotional, some of it was just a bit gas.
Yeah,
like that guy Robert
with his exploding crotch issues.
Exploding crotch. watching Keira Doherty,
you can't say it, you can't do, like, obviously, but like, I want to see this exploding crotch.
You want,
like,
to see it?
How big is this exploding crotch? What,
like,
are we talking?
Just for our work, we need to actually see the crotch explode, please.
And like, for clarification purposes.
And the way he was like, I just bend down and squat all the time. Like, who squats all the time? Like, during the working day?
A real deep squat,
like,
he said.
A deep squat.
I'm
show me
this deep squat. Are you talking slut drop or
no,
squat?
No, like, it was so funny. But it's really interesting because I was watching it and, you know, for anyone who hasn't seen it, basically people come in and they have stories either, like you said, they may have overcome something. Like, there's one girl in it, Jenna, who I loved, who ended up being paralyzed from the chest down after jumping into the shallow end of a pool. Such a sad story. And she was talking about how she was suicidal and just how she doesn't feel herself anymore. And it's funny, I feel like the fashion industry and the kind of showbiz industry get a lot of slagging, you know, like, that we're all into our looks and blah, blah. Mm. But when you see that and realize how much it can change a person to, like, style them, give them nice hair, like, they literally all transformed internally by the end of the episode as well.
Do you know what really hit home for me? Like, I was born disabled, so I know no different. But Ali, imagine we've all been drunk and we've all done stupid stuff. Imagine one day you decide to jump into a pool and in that moment
Your whole life has changed forever. Yeah.
You're wheelchair bound, the way you wear clothes is different, the way they sit in you is different, the way that people look at you is different.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
And I think that was what was so emotional and also so relatable about Jenna's story.
Yeah.
And so moving as well.
Yeah. And she's such a lovely person. And when all you guys did style her and everything, she looked amazing.
She did. I mean, and she has such a genuine, there was something so genuine
about her. Yeah, definitely. It reminded me of, like, do you remember The Swan? Did you ever watch The Swan?
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, they were all getting like facelifts and boob reductions and nip tucks.
Yeah, we're not that bad.
It's not like that, but it was the same emotional reaction, I thought, when they like came through. And all that you did for those guys, you know, with the team that was there, was design an outfit for them or style them differently.
Yeah.
But like, it felt like the same emotion, like their parents were crying, their friends are crying. I literally was like, oh my God, I can't handle this.
It's because when you actually think about it, clothes can change your mood in an instant.
Yeah. And like hair, like I actually put a post on Instagram a few weeks ago about like the glow up, you know, like before and after, because I'm 29 now. And when I was like 22, 21, I thought I was like the bee's knees. But when I actually look back, like, I was doing my brows all wrong. My hair was rotten. Didn't know how to style myself. So actually, those tools of learning how to style yourself or make yourself look better on the outside. I know it's like a dodgy thing to say because people are all against it. But like, if
people,
you feel nice on
fickle.
The outside, it does make you feel good on the inside.
It does. And that is a fact of life.
Yeah, it's just
anyone
reality.
That feels good on the outside will feel good on the inside.
Because, and it gives you confidence.
It just exudes confidence.
Yeah.
You walk out of the house saying, shit, I look hot.
Yeah.
you know, yeah, or you can walk you. Out of the house saying, oh my God, I look Mingan. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We've both been there. We've all yeah, we've been there.
I'm on the Mingan yeah. side today, I feel. And what drew you to the project then? How did it all happen? Like, how did it all come together?
This is mad, but my famous now first dates episode yes. got aired on E4.
Okay.
As like an international first dates thing.
Okay, okay.
And from there, the production team, which was actually an English production,
yeah,
saw it. And we're like, actually, let's research him. And then they saw a talk I did with Deminar. And they were like, right, I'd okay. like to give him the screen test. Then they put me forward to RTE.
So did you just get a call being like, I got a LinkedIn,
a LinkedIn mail. Who checks their so LinkedIn? Profesh. I don't really like
all my mails are like, you want to go for coffee? I know. Like someone from Dubai. I'm like, what?
Okay. You're like, hon, I own a business.
No. Yeah, like, no, thank you.
But yes, yeah, so then from there, LinkedIn email and then RTE said, yeah, I actually would like to give him a shot. I know him. We know him from first dates. Yeah. So they gave me a screen test. So I had about 2 screen tests.
You must have been so nervous,
and
were you?
I was so nervous. And like, there was one of my own and then yeah. one with me with like people.
Okay.
Just what to did see you how we interact. It was mad. It was just very like, one into my own was telling me my story. So okay. it was a camera in front of me just saying my story.
That's probably a little bit easier than...
Yeah, yeah. I'm quite used to that. But then the interactions was like, I would have to... like draw out of them yeah. what their feelings are and mm-hmm. you know why they're coming to the show yeah. and you know allow them the difference of presenting. And I had to realise this because I've gone for a lot of presenting jobs, is presenting is not about me.
Yeah, it's about getting stuff out of
I'm
other people.
I'm not going for a mm-hmm. Big Brother audition here. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's about making the other person feel comfortable enough for them to tell their story.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's what, and I think I had to go through a lot of hoops to understand that with presenting, yeah, mm-hmm. you know? And then when I got the call, I literally fell to my knees and cried. And
oh, no.
People say, like, that's dramatic, but you know as much as I do, Ali, like, how much I've fought for that for so long.
Yeah.
So for me to be a fresh face and, like, not to be really on TV before or have any presenting background.
And to be the face of, basically,
the face of a show.
Yeah.
And a really show that I would love, that I'm so proud to be a part of. And I think it's very fresh and something that RTE has never brought to their screen.
Yeah.
Is amazing for them to have trust in me to be the face of it with the other 3 contributors.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not contributors, the other 3 the hosts.
Designers and the stylists. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I suppose for anyone who doesn't know, like, tell us your story, I suppose. This is like your audition again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, and go. Like, how has your life been up until now? Like, tell us your story.
So, my life's been a bit of a roller coaster. I mean, I lost my mom at the age of 5 to womb cancer.
Yeah.
But she actually had cancer of the womb while I was in her.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
So the whole of the story is that I had a lot of the oxygen to the head.
Right.
Which probably brought on the condition of cerebral palsy because it's very, you know, and then she had a blood hemorrhage. So they really thought I wouldn't survive. They thought I'd be stillborn or I'd be severely, severely disabled or, you know, they didn't know what was happening. This is in the late 80s.
Right, yeah.
Showing my age there.
You're like, I mean the 90s.
And they couldn't believe it when I survived.
That's amazing.
And I came 3 months from my time and I brought myself on apparently.
You're like, right, I'm out of here.
Because I couldn't grow anymore.
Right, yeah.
And then she survived till I was 5.
Wow.
And then passed away, lost her battle. And then I had a really, I suppose, I didn't have a bad childhood, but in terms of like, my dad was very old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And in school, I found it hard to find my place.
Yeah.
You know, I was also gay as well. So in an all boys school growing up, dealing with that and having a disability are 2 obstacles that you shouldn't have to overcome, but you
and you're
do,
like at the same time,
but you do have to overcome, and it's also trying to find yourself within those
anyway,
2,
just being a teenager,
you know, and having these 2. And what I really found is was funny is that I was really popular before I came out gay, so they were willing to accept my disability,
okay,
and not willing to accept that I'm gay. And now, like, it's like the new in thing to be gay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so different now,
you know,
isn't it?
I wouldn't even think about it. But if you're going back to my story, this is where it all began.
Yeah.
And then I also found in the gay culture, it's all about image. And my image never fit an ideal. To, you know, I never felt attractive within myself because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of these 2 battles, I was going internally in the back of my head, like, I didn't really want to accept my disability. And to a certain extent, at some point, I didn't really want to accept I was gay either. Because yeah. So it was just these
internal battles.
It was
making
things
difficult for you. Yeah.
And then, I don't know what happened. I just went to college and I think I found new friends and people that were very similar to me. And
yeah.
As you grow up, you realise that the things that you always found important of fitting in
yeah.
and wanting to not be noticed, you know, and kind of hiding your quirks and your differences.
Mm-hmm.
They're the things that make you you.
Exactly,
and then you,
yeah.
It's just life experience. You meet people, you go through certain experiences.
Yeah.
You know, you develop a confidence. You kind of understand yourself a bit more and you understand who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a part of growing up.
Yeah. That's why I think secondary school in particular is so damn difficult. Because
it is.
You don't choose your friends or choose your class. College is so different because you are basically running your own life and your own schedules, and
exactly.
It's very different in school. Like, you're 9 to 5 with people sometimes that are making your life a living hell, and you just have to get up and go in every day and
exactly.
try to get
and
through
sometimes
the day.
You're just friends with people because
you don't
like,
want to be in your own
be,
like,
you don't want to be
yeah.
in your own, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a tough time because you're all trying to find out who you are.
Yeah.
And some people can be bullies and some people can be the bully, you
yeah
know?
I feel like everyone is going through the same thing, but the reactions to it, I suppose,
are different, you know.
And how, like, did you think of moving school at all when all this stuff was going on?
My dad was like, it will toughen you up,
really,
you know. He just really wanted me to have this backbone
go
of like
it.
You know, this will stand to you in life. And although at the time I hated him for it, I actually do think it stands to me now.
Really?
Because there's nothing that someone can throw at me that I would be shocked or get really shook about.
Really?
You know, because I know who I am now and I have a backbone to be like, actually,
you have to
no.
go through all that.
Sometimes you have to go through it, all that, to come out the other end. I don't think I would have been the same person or have like brought the same thing to the table
mm-hmm.
in terms of what I could bring to the show if I didn't go through that.
And yeah, actually, when I had James Kavanagh on the podcast, because he was obviously bullied in school and I was
yeah.
bullied in school, and we were like talking all about that, and
yeah.
we were saying it's so funny, like, we both feel that like the ambition that we have and the drive probably came from that,
it
as
is.
In wanting to prove people wrong. So if we'd had it easy in school, like, I don't know if any of us would be
exactly.
in this industry, because if you were happy with how things were going, you'd just be like, easy peasy, normal
easy.
Life. But then I was like, no, I want to do this and I want to prove that. And I want to, and I just kind of created
You want to
my
prove
life.
That you're somebody and
yeah.
that you have a worth.
Yeah,
and
because you felt worthless
because
for
you
so
felt
long.
Worthless.
Yeah.
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 And I think it is. It puts a fire in you.
Totally.
To
yeah.
prove everyone wrong and kind of put the middle finger up to them.
Yeah.
And then it evolves from that kind of revenge aspect to actually, there's more to it, and you forgive them.
Yeah.
You know, but I think at the beginning, that's where it festers from.
Would you say you've forgiven them now?
Yeah.
Any bullies?
No,
yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I would, because at the end of the day, I've realised life's too short and I don't know what they were going through either.
Yeah, that's
and
so true.
I also have to say, you know, in some ways they made me who I am,
yeah.
even though they didn't mean to.
Yeah, I
and
know what you mean.
Why do I want to hold on to that anger?
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to say now, and if anyone's listening to this who's going through a tough time, don't get me wrong, I hated my life, and sometimes you just have to go through it, and thank God I had friends there to help me
yeah.
go through it, and, you know, a good support. And I'm not saying I condone bullying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying sometimes you can use your bad experiences
turn
to make
it into
a positive.
Something good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so were you and Rob Kenny, you were besties, right?
Yeah, we were besties since we were like, he always loves bringing us since he was, I think I was about 12 when he was 9.
Oh,
he
God.
Loves knowing that he's younger than me. But yeah, we met in a speech and drama, and we were dressed up as Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh my God, he did not
Faith,
tell me that.
And Faith. Yeah, and we did like a kick.
Which one were you?
I was, I think I was Buffy.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. And he actually hated me at the beginning.
Did he?
Yeah,
why? Because you were such a good Buffy.
Yeah, because he was like, no, I don't like him. I think it was like two gaylings coming after
oh
each other.
Oh my God, that's
and
so
then
funny.
We were like pushed together for like a play, like
okay.
a school play.
Yeah.
And then, it was just unstoppable
that's
from there.
So funny.
And one time like we like blew a Malteser across the line together. Like, you
oh
know, like
my
a,
God.
Yeah, it was
that's
weird.
So cute.
Yeah.
And actually, speech and drama, I think it's such a good thing for people to get into, especially like you were saying, if anyone's listening that's going through stuff, it's so good, isn't it? For
yeah.
like confidence building. And you normally meet quite like-minded
people,
I think, in drama. Like
yeah.
they're very creative, kind of quirky, like most of the people that would be in groups like that. So it's such a good thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. And I think I get a feeling in this day and age, people are a lot more open to, you know, going into certain after school activities that you may have found feminine.
Very masculine. Yeah, it's so different now. And Rob was even saying that when he was on the podcast, he was like, to come out now, like in school, would not be like a deal.
It'd
be like,
and it was a massive deal to me.
Isn't it so crazy, the difference?
Yeah, but that just shows how our generation have pushed things forward.
Yes, yeah, so
and we
true.
Should be proud of that.
Yeah,
you know?
So true. And then, so talk to me about how your Snapchat world blew up.
Oh yeah, well it didn't really blow up, but yeah,
it did. Now, do you remember the days of Snapchat? Oh my god, it was like the biggest thing. And now, like, do you even use Snapchat anymore?
No, I just use Instagram. Yeah, I feel like same. I cheated.
I had an affair
because Snapchat's where it all began.
I know.
I was in the right place at the right time, honestly. Like, I was in with a group of people that had all started off. I think we were kind of originals.
Yeah, the original, the OG.
Like myself, James, Rob, and James Patrice and a few others.
Yeah.
And I was really good friends with James and Rob, and James was starting it. And then my other friend Orla was starting it.
Yes, yeah.
Orla McConnan. And I was like, maybe I could do it. And then Orla and James were like, yeah, completely go for it. You have such a story to tell.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you're a bit of a Bridget Jones, they say. And I was like, I went for it. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. And I kind of found my own niche following. Do you know what I mean?
Were you surprised that it took off?
I was surprised. I was really surprised. I didn't think that people would find me that interesting, to be honest.
And you started the whole kind of the term, like, my disabled life.
My disabled life, yeah. Hashtagged. And my disablers. Justin Bieber's believers. And I wanted to showcase maybe that just because you're disabled doesn't mean you can't live a glamorous lifestyle. I think a lot of people within society think people who are disabled are just shut off away from the world. They don't have any ambitions or don't want to look good, you know. And I just wanted to showcase that. And I didn't want to get into politics. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of disabled activists want to go and change the law. And that's great. That's fantastic. More power to you. But I wanted to be like the everyday, real life disabled person who wants to go out.
And show how normal your life is.
Yeah, who wants to go out, who wants to dress well, who wants to live a good lifestyle, who wants to be a hun.
Yeah, you know? Be a gas bitch.
Be a gas bitch.
Yeah.
I wanted to show that side and be more unapologetic about it. And also show people that we're not like people that you need to really look after all the time. Like, we use our disability as well to our advantage.
Yeah.
So, like,
I know, I love the way you do that on your stories.
Yeah, like, give us some kudos.
Yeah.
Where kudos is due. And also to educate people on what having a disability like mine would be. I mean, Ali, I would assume now that you wouldn't even see my disability.
No, I literally forget all the time.
You know what I mean? So I wanted to showcase that, like, if you give someone with a disability a chance, you know, you don't even see it anymore.
I actually forget all the time.
I know, like, she said before, she's like, there's a few stairs up here, I forgot.
And I just forgot. I know what, I remembered that we were at a Christmas party before, and there was literally 6 fucking flights of stairs. And I remember being like, oh no, what? And then you were like, oh no, it's grand. And I was like, oh, okay. I feel like you'd be like, I'm actually climbing Mount Everest next week. I'd be like, all right, grand.
I'm like, I'm better than you, Ali,
in
those heels.
Like, you actually probably would be. Like, but that's what I love about you. Like, you don't let it own you at all. And I love that you started that kind of hashtag My Disabled Life, because I think people thought it was going to be about something different, and then when they went on your stories, they were like, oh, he's actually fucking gas. Like, I remember I used to love on your Snapchats when you were in work, I used to keep thinking you were going to get fired.
I still think that's the
main guy,
Brian.
And you'd be like playing fucking Britney and Christina, like Adam Needed. You'd be sitting in his little corner being like, fuck
off. I know.
I used to be like, how do you have a job?
But you know,
like,
people keep sending me to this day.
So funny to watch, though.
I'm like, if my bosses are watching me, please keep me on.
Yeah, you're like, I need it. I need my salary. But what did they think of it when you became like a Snapchat star?
I think they really enjoyed it. I think they found it really refreshing.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just something new, and I think they really knew that I loved what I did.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like a family to me in there.
Yeah.
You know, so I owe them a lot as well to give me the flexibility to allow me to explore that side of myself as well.
Yeah, so they're pretty open if you're like, I need to go and do a shoot or I need to do
sure
this.
Sure, I did this.
Well, you're like, I haven't been to work in 6 weeks. That's so nice that they're able to do that with you. A lot of places would not.
I know, and you know, I have to take my hat off to them. They've been really, really good to me. Yeah.
So Snapchat kind of kicked it all off for you. And then obviously first dates, like that was the big.
That was what brought explosion. Me to the forefront.
So yeah. How did that come about? Did you apply for it?
No, I didn't actually.
They got
in touch with me. Look, I got always been chased. And
you're like, no photos.
No photos. I want to live a normal life.
Yeah, leave me alone.
So they got in touch with me, and at the beginning I said no.
Did you? Yeah. I didn't know that.
And then my friend said to me, do you know what? Like, you always talk about dating and all on your social media. Yeah. Wouldn't it be such a good attribute to show the world what it's like?
Yeah.
You know, and then when I actually thought about it, I'm like, do you know what? They're right. So then I rang them back and I was like, I will go for it. I was afraid it was going to be like something like The Undateables.
Yeah, I know. With that, like, poor Paddy.
Showcasing me in such a way that, like, basically saying I can't get a date.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's the opposite of what you want to do.
Which was never the case.
Yeah.
So I just didn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But no.
And did you like say that to them? Were you like, look, I want it to be this way.
I will do it, but like, I don't want it to. I didn't say, I just said, like, I don't want it to be like poor Paddy show.
Yeah.
I want it to be like my story, like, and this is what happens. This is the obstacles you have to overcome. When you want to when you're gay and disabled. Yeah.
And did you expect the reaction? Because no, I remember after you were on it, like, being, because obviously we would go out loads anyway.
Yeah.
But I remember after you were on it, like, people literally stopping you in the street and stuff, being like, oh my God.
I still get stopped to this day.
Do you? Oh my God.
2 years on. Who would have thought from that one episode that I would
because you never know with a show like that show. Because it's, you're in it for such a small amount of time that anyone in that one episode can kind of overshadow. Never know. So like, were you watching it and then seeing the Twitter reaction and being like, oh my God, this is actually
I actually think I trended over the show.
Oh my God.
That night. It was insane. That really opened a lot of doors for me in terms of, I don't think I would have even been considered for this presenting gig
if I hadn't for that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and how did the date go? Did you ever see him again?
No. Oh my God. And to tell you this, some scandal, some tea.
Spill the tea.
So we kissed in the George, but then he was like, aren't you on, you're in My Disabled Life, aren't you? He was like, I'm thinking of starting my own thing called My Sober Life. I'm like, sorry, hon.
You're like,
you're basically stealing my hashtag.
Yeah. How dare
you? For like, what?
Yeah.
So then we didn't really see eye to eye after that.
You were like, fuck off.
I was like, go away from me.
Oh my God.
At least buy me dinner first.
Yeah, like, it's only been one kiss in the George. Like, bring, on a proper dinner though, away from.
Date. Yeah.
And did he ever contact you again, or was that?
Yeah, we talked a bit. And I did feel a bit bad for him because, like, even in the newspapers and all, like, they got his name wrong.
You were secretly delighted, let's be honest.
Secretly, I was slightly delighted.
Oh no, what the poor guy. Oh God.
No, but it is pretty bad, yeah. Like, yeah.
That's
He was lovely though, he was lovely. We just weren't...
Like, do you think as a show format you could actually meet someone, or is it just...
I do think you could.
Yeah.
I think it is a lovely, like, you know, it is a lovely, lovely concept.
Yeah.
And I think Irish people, I'm a firm believer that this is one of the shows that Ireland does better than the UK.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that Gogglebox and First Dates and obviously The Fitting Room.
Yeah, obviously.
Are some things better that
we've done
that
so well.
Than we do in the UK.
And who paid for the meal? Because I always hear that you actually have
Everyone
to pay for the meal.
Everyone loves this now.
Yeah.
So basically they give you a certain amount of money.
Okay. So you're like 10 cents.
No, they give you a certain amount of money. And then... You know, the meal can come to an amount, or you can decide to spend more.
More, okay. And then, how do the people on the date decide who's? That's a part of the whole show, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why they only give you a certain amount, because the excitement
they need to, like,
part
barter.
Of it. Yeah, the excitement part of it is obviously you're going to get more drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. So it's who are going to pay for the drinks, really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
So
mad. And let's talk about your dating life.
I know.
You're loved up at the moment.
I know, loved up. Can you believe it?
Of course I can believe it. Of course I can.
Yeah, it's going well. It's just under 6 months now.
Oh my God, is it already?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Or is it over 6 months? I don't know. Yeah, but we're around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going well. He's really, really nice and I'm enjoying myself. And yeah, it's weird to see. I didn't know I'd be like this in a relationship.
How do you mean?
I don't know. Like, I'm a lot more relaxed.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
I'm a very, like,
chilled. Yeah. Yeah. And how did you guys meet?
Oh my God, he hates this. He wants to tell people that we like met like a Cinderella story, but we didn't. So we met on Grindr.
As all good relationships do.
And yeah, it went from there. We didn't actually get together for a year.
Oh really? You knew
so
him
I've
that
known
long?
Him, I've known him. I knew him on and off for a year.
Right, okay.
Or meeting up now and again.
Yeah.
Seeing each other out and stuff. But nothing like serious.
Right.
And then it just kind of like, I don't know, something just happened and it just got more serious. It just got more serious. Yeah.
And did you find it hard being on social media? Or sorry, not social media, obviously not. On dating apps before that? Like, is it hard?
Yeah.
Like,
I find them very fickle.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate them myself.
And they can make you feel so down about yourself as
yeah.
well.
Because it's all like swipe left, swipe right. And then if you're not swiped, I know what you mean.
You just, and it's not a real representation of what
you are. Yeah, that's so true.
You know, it's very Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
For in the dating world.
So like, you're taking a risk when you meet up with someone kind of, aren't you? Because you actually don't know what they're really like.
And even with Grindr in terms of like one night stands and sex and stuff, like everyone knows that's what Grindr is about.
Yeah.
Like it can be great for a time.
Yeah.
You know, but then it starts to like eat away at you because you're like,
it's so fake.
I have nothing real.
Yeah, yeah.
All I'm doing is filling a gap for a moment.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
And then it's done. You know?
That's what I feel about Tinder sometimes as well. Like I'm on Tinder and Bumble, but I actually hate them and I speak to no one on it. So I may as well delete them because I hate them. But even Tinder is kind of like Grindr, I think sometimes. Like you'd hear like, you know, a lot of guys are on it and they just like, it's the easiest place to get the ride. Like they'll literally be like sitting at home on a Friday, get the ride within an hour. And I'm like, oh my God, like life has gone so bizarre that like that can happen.
We're wanting like instant gratification.
Yeah. But then like you said, the next day or the next morning, then it's like, oh, you know, you got to get left with the emptiness. So how did you know with him it was going to, did you even think it was going to turn into something real or did you just want to give it a shot?
Actually. And would you believe that now me and Rob Kenny have the same boyfriends who have the same name?
I know, yeah, the two Shanes.
The two Shanes.
Yeah.
Typical. I can't even have a name.
Fuck's sake. He stole it from you.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know and I'm happy and it came out of nowhere. And yeah, we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know.
I love seeing you happy though.
Thanks.
And I think it's cute that you share that kind of, like, do you think you share quite a lot of it on social or are you being kind of careful about it?
I do. I share as much as I want. I don't share everything. I think I'm a firm believer that if I've decided to do this and if I've decided that this is the life I want to lead, mm-hmm. I have to take the bad with the good.
Yeah.
So I've put myself on the pedestal. So
yeah.
You know, I might as well showcase
Show
my life.
Everything.
Yeah.
And would you ever get, I always ask this question, obviously, when people come in, like, do you get negativity at all?
Yeah, oh my God, I got negativity from the first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
from the fitting room?
From the fitting room, yeah.
Why?
So one person said, why would you say you're gay and disabled? Like, they're bad things. Okay, you're fine, you're disabled, but, like, being gay. And I was like, okay, hold on. It's not I was saying that it's a bad thing. I was saying they've both faced adversity.
Yeah.
And they're both barriers I've had to overcome because society has told me so.
Yeah.
So that's
but as
why.
But if you feel that they're bad things, what does
like,
make
I'm
any
like,
sense?
Before, I'm gay and proud and happy to be.
And did you reply to them?
Yeah, I did.
And where was that? Like Twitter or something?
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, dream. I'm Beyonce. I've been trolled.
No, trolling is so stressful. I hate it.
I know you do.
I feel like mainly though, you've had really, really positive.
Positive. I really have. And I'm really, really grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why, but it just
you're
happens
nice
in a very nice
person.
Way. And I appreciate everything.
Your family must find it all mad, do they?
They do, yeah. Especially now. Yeah. It's like, I've kind of exploded onto everywhere now.
Yeah.
I even find that mad myself. Like, the front of magazine covers.
Yeah, I loved your Life magazine cover. Oh my God, it was so cool. Very chic.
Yeah, it's cool.
I loved that.
And like, that colors, we didn't even like really overthink that. We just came to the shoot and we're like, oh, we'll put this together.
Yeah.
And then when it actually was on this on the page, it looked like we all wore certain colors.
It looked amazing. Yeah, I loved
it. It was really good. Yeah,
that must have been really surreal as well. I'm guessing that cover is framed somewhere, is it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. And all my other bits, like in the RTE guide, and I was in the Irish Country magazine. It's just insane.
Yeah,
it is insane. And I'm so I'm overwhelmed, especially with my dad just passing.
Yeah.
So it kind of has come at like the best time and also the worst time, because I'd love for him to see it.
To see it. But like he knew about it though,
yeah,
right?
He knew about it, yeah.
And I remember when you were on the Ray Darcy show, you brought your dad with you.
I did.
Like that's so special that he got to even do that, you know?
I know. So the next thing to get off my list is the Late Late. That's the next thing I want to do.
Okay. What will we do to get you on the Late Late?
That's like the pinnacle of Irish culture.
Isn't it? Yeah. Because I know Suzanne Jackson was on it there. Did you watch her on it?
Yeah.
I thought she came across really so
good.
Well.
Really good. I'm really genuine.
Really genuine. And like there's always people trolling her as well. And I
think she's amazing what she does.
Yeah. And I was like, do you know what? People saying whatever. And I was like, it's such an achievement to even get on the Late Late Show. Yeah. I was like, forget about her business, which is also killing it. I was like, let's take a second. She's on the Late Late. That is like every single person in this country knows what the Late Late is.
I know.
You know, older people, younger people, they know it's a huge deal.
So I'm hoping maybe, you know, the Late Late will catch on to the show and then they'll put me on.
So how many episodes are there?
There's six.
Okay, so number one just went out.
So one just went out last week. So from the 15th, there's six episodes an hour each.
Yeah.
And look, hopefully there's a season two. I think I'm biased. I think it's a really kind of different show that Ireland hasn't seen before.
Does it get more emotional? Do I need to prepare myself?
Yeah, it does. Christ. And it also gets, like, there's other bits where it's funny again.
Yeah.
The greatest thing about this is we've hit every demographic.
Yeah.
Or marginal, you know, demographic.
Yeah, because even in that one episode, like your man, he was from West Cork, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I was surprised someone like him actually went on the show,
to be
honest.
But he was brilliant.
He was so funny.
I loved how
funny.
Deadpan he was, and he didn't realise how funny he was.
No, when people, with the girls kept laughing and he was like, huh? He still was like, wait, what's going on?
He was
but
brilliant.
To put yourself out there and to have your friends like be there, like, that's brave.
Ali, are you going to be with me? Did he fail or nail that kilt? Because me and Rudy are saying, we're on different opinions here.
You didn't like it, did
you?
I didn't really think the kilt. I get why he did it, because when you look at the fashion that he had, it was so bad. And the purple suit, he had like super glued back together and stuff.
Yeah.
So I get why. I liked the shirt though. I thought the shirt
was fashionable. Yeah, the shirt was slick.
The kilt looked like it was just over the pants, so it could have just
been
taken off.
He looked like a high-class waiter.
Oh my God. I didn't know what you were going to say there.
A stripper.
No, but I got where he was going with it. I loved...
But it wouldn't be for him.
No, I don't think it was a good fit.
There you go, Rudy, you see.
Oh my God, I'm going to get hate mail now. I loved the two girls, though. I loved what they wore. Yeah, I loved their dresses.
Hayley.
Yeah, Hayley's dress was amazing.
It was amazing. And so I hate the word inspirational for people like myself, but like actually what an inspiring woman.
Oh yeah.
In terms of like what she's done in sport.
I know.
And her attitude.
So incredible. Yeah.
And yeah, she's just great. Yeah.
I loved that she's all into the velvet materials as well.
Yeah. She loves a good bit of velvet.
So how did that process happen? Like where did you film? How long were you filming for?
So like we filmed in Belfast and we did it over December and January.
Okay, right.
And it was like this mansion, kind of like a mansionette hotel place in Belfast. And yeah, it was amazing. There was like a food truck outside. It was like a proper set.
Yeah.
Food truck outside with like loads of...
Did you have a rider with loads of demands, like all white pillows
Stop.
And like white
I had
white
my own producer
flowers.
Sitting beside me at all times.
Really?
If I wanted a coffee, if I wanted a tea, I needed the sugar
rush. Can you go to Dublin and get me this specific type of coffee?
At season two, I'll be like that. I'll be like, sorry, I have a list. I only drink Evian water and I want all
Evian.
The only brown M&M's.
Oh my God. Did you have M&M's?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God. I love walking onto a set and seeing M&M's. You're literally like, oh my God, this is like a proper set. And so many celebrities like only like one color M&M. It's like a thing. You're going to know you're big when you're in the Late Late Show dressing room and they're like, what would you like? And you're like, only brown M&M's.
Brown. That's when you know I've
Someone
made it.
Someone needs to hand pick the blue and the red out for me, please. And if that day happens, which it will, I feel like it will, take a photo and send it to me.
Oh my God,
and be like, do you remember that conversation?
100%.
So yeah, your sister, does she think it's all nuts?
Yeah, she thinks it's mad.
Does she?
Everyone thinks it's mad, even I do. I mean, I still can't believe it's out. And like, I'm already in talks about other
Amazing.
Shows
yeah.
that could be happening in development. So
that's what I was going to say, I suppose. Where do you see yourself going? I suppose, first of all, presenting-wise, like career-wise.
I want to, big ask, but I want to be like the next Graham Norton or better.
Yeah.
I want to have my own chat show. That's my biggest dream. And I also want to keep breaking barriers and boundaries for disabled people and people who are not disabled like myself, who just have to overcome anything or feel like they can't achieve something because something's holding them back.
Yeah,
maybe that's the demographic they're from,
or
that they're a woman, or that they, you know, are transgender or they're gay or whatever they feel within themselves. It's a personal thing they have to go through. Hopefully seeing someone like me on the screen or the participants that are in the show will give them kind of a confidence that someone else can be represented.
That's what I was thinking, because when you were talking about school and everything, like imagine someone now in a similar position to you, maybe in secondary school now, seeing that show and seeing you be the face of it, like that would totally like change your opinion.
Yeah,
you know,
it would.
Of the world.
I think it's a really ticked box for, not ticked box, it's a really step forward for RTE.
Yeah.
In terms of like putting a show like that on.
Yeah.
And also putting fresh talent on. That's unheard
of. Yeah, that's rare. It's so rare.
It's really unheard of. And a step forward for Ireland, I suppose.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy that there hasn't been something like this before?
No.
When you actually think about it.
Last thing was like Off the Rails.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
my God.
Close to it.
That was like
five, I feel like we're
ago.
Like the Queer Eye of Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
I'm dying to see the next couple of episodes now and to see. I just can't have gone out the night before because
I know.
I just don't
want to.
Well,
no, it's pretty good because like we want tears.
You want the tears.
You know, we want you to feel emotion.
I'll like bottle them for you and send them like Ali's tears from the show.
We got one review from it. It was like viewers were bawling. I'm like, yes.
Yes. You're like, that's what
that's
I was
what
aiming for. Want them crying. Cry more tears.
The only bad thing is that we're going against Game of Thrones. But look, we'll overlook that.
Oh, for the series, the time of the series.
Yeah.
But no one watches TV straight anymore, do they?
True.
Like, as in, like, they watch it on the player and everything like that. Like, I watched it on the player.
Well,
I also don't watch Game of Thrones.
Watch The Fitting Room.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I'm more likely to watch The Fitting Room. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do. But I'd never watch it in real time.
Okay, so then you're
I'd only ever watch it online.
So remind us what time and dates at The Fitting Room.
So it's every Monday, 9:30 p.m. or T2 for the hour. So put it in the planner.
We're like hashtag ad.
Hashtag spawn. And we also got these cute socks. I don't know if you saw them.
Yeah,
just
I saw
them.
The socks. Oh my God.
So,
I love them.
We sent them out as well.
Oh my God,
and
I love them.
Did you get a pair actually?
No, I didn't.
I definitely sent you a pair.
We've moved offices.
I'll be on to press.
Yeah, I'd be like, excuse. It could be because we changed offices. People are still sending. If we moved like 6 months ago, no, 4 months ago, and we keep getting stuff sent to it. People keep messaging me, be like, hi, we've delivered for you. I'm like, well,
you're
at the wrong place. And so, okay, so that's professionally. Personally now, what do you want in the next 5 years, let's say?
Personally, in terms of like love and all.
Yeah, your life.
Oh God, I don't know, Ali, please. I'm only having fun at the minute.
I know.
Stop. I don't know. I hope I'm happy.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want. I don't know if I want marriage. I don't know if I want, you know, all I know is I want to be happy and I want to be successful.
Yeah.
And right now, it seems like I'm on the right track.
Yeah, you definitely are.
So I'm not one of those people that, you know, that I feel like I have to tick off certain boxes to say that I am successful.
Okay.
Right now, I want to really try my hand at presenting and, you know, pushing that door open and keeping the momentum because I do think I have something to say.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I'm happy with Shane. So it seems to be working out. So at the minute, that's where I am. In 5 years, who knows? But hopefully I'm happy and doing something I love to do.
Which you are now, which is great. And I remember, I'll never forget that night you told me you were going on first dates. I think you told me before, so many people. And we were outside Dame Lane, I think. Were we at an event or something? And you were like, oh my God, I wonder how it's going to go, blah, blah. So it's crazy to think of then and then
and now. Who would have thought?
Now you're fronting your own TV show. Like,
it's mental.
It's nuts when you think of it. But hard work, though. It's not like, look, you know,
you have worked
really hard.
I mean, there's a lot to the show that in the background.
Yeah.
Like, even the voiceover of the show.
Yeah.
You know, I
thought
doing,
you were really good at the voiceovers, actually. I was thinking that when I was listening to it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's also a different skill set.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very different. I mean, obviously, now I have a cold, so I might sound a bit
don't
nasally.
Don't worry.
But you have to be so clear. You also have to be a bit, like, very lively. Like, welcome to the fitting room.
Yeah.
Like, because the way it transcends on TV.
It's so different. Yeah. People, you know, there's people that, like, try to work for Goss and like they want to be presenter and stuff and they haven't done it before and like we'll do like little screen tests with them And people don't realize, like, it's the smallest things. Like, you have to start smiling before the camera turns on. You have to be like, hi. Not like, hi, how are you? Because then you sound like you're bored. You have to be really over the top.
It's like when you ever do a play, people are like, you have to overact in the play.
Overact, yeah.
It's almost overacting in the voiceover and on screen.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be a lot more, and but also come across natural.
Yeah, at the same time. It actually is really difficult when you say it that way. The main things you have to remember, and then it's like, go, go, go. And then, did you have a stylist for the show? I thought you looked very stylish.
I actually picked my own clothes.
Did you?
They allowed me. They said you're fashionable yourself.
Yeah.
So a few people helped me out.
Okay.
In terms of like H&M, Debenhams, getting the plugs in there. H&M, Debenhams, New Look.
Okay.
And I also brought some of my own clothes, like that pink suit.
Yes.
Was my own.
Okay. Right.
But other bits were not. So like they really helped me out. But I went in and picked the clothes and stuff.
Right, okay.
So yeah, I was like the Beyonce because I kept changing.
Did you? You're like, three changes in, please. Yeah, because I'd say when you knew you had the show, you were probably like, shit, I'm going to have to be really stylish on this as well. It's about fashion.
Literally, like, I was like, okay, like, I think I'm like kind of stylish, but like, I need to up my game.
Up the game. Okay,
because I can't be
like,
telling people, I think you should wear this. And then they're like,
you're sitting there in like a black plastic bag.
Yeah. They're like, sorry, are you wearing odd socks? I'm like,
you're like, that's my style, bitch. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Honestly.
And I'm dying to see the rest of the series, which you can check out every Monday. It's all straight now.
It's on the RT player,
On the RT player as well. If you're watching Game of Thrones instead, make sure
it's on the player.
Which you won't be.
Yeah.
And I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.